For May 15th, 2006, it's the Lullabot Podcast.
Lullabot Podcast.
Hi, it's Jeff Robbins, and it's the Lullabot Drupal Podcast. And this week we have an interview with Jonathan Chaffer, a.k.a. John Bob. John is one of the people behind the Content Construction Kit. He also wrote FlexiNode and the Drupal menu system, and did a lot of work on the Drupal menu system, and has done a whole lot of really cool stuff with Drupal. And so let's talk to John and find out what he's been up to recently. So, John, where do you live?
I am living in Grand Rapids, Michigan.
And what do you do there?
I am a programmer. My official job title is Algorithm Alchemist at Structure Interactive.
That's your official job title. That's impressive.
That's my official job title. We are originally an ad agency, and now we mostly do interactive development work, things like corporate websites and trade show kiosks, that kind of work.
Right on. Anything worth mentioning? What a loaded question if this people from Structure are listening.
our biggest client is Dow Chemical.
Right on.
And we have a number of clients along those lines. Amway is a big client of ours since they're also headquartered here in Grand Rapids.
Right on. So just big clients. Now, are you using Drupal for those sites?
We're using Drupal mostly for the smaller work that we're doing. The larger clients tend to go with products that have large price tags associated with them. there's a lot of corporate security. People feel very good hands if they're with a product they paid a lot for, because then they have the impression that the vendors are going to be supporting them well. We know that in practice, this is sometimes the case and sometimes not the case.
Right.
But our open source solutions tend to be sold to companies with more limited budgets or that already have leanings toward open source solutions for some other reasons. For example, we have a couple clients who are health providers and health insurance providers in town here, and they've typically gone with Drupal or Plone-based solutions.
Really? That's interesting, because you would think with that kind of thing, there would be sort of inherent security nervousness around an industry like that, and that they would shy away from something like Drupal.
There certainly is some hesitation along those lines, but most of the work that we've been doing has been more customer-facing work. It's been more public information.
Right.
So aside from a couple corporate intranets, we've typically been deploying what you'd think of as brochureware plus some interactive content for things like calculators on sites and those types of things.
Right. So how did you get started with Drupal?
Well, let's see. We were working on a pro bono site, and we needed a foundation, and we couldn't afford to spend a huge amount of time developing some kind of content management from scratch. A coworker actually brought Drupal to the table along with a bunch of other CMS solutions, and I was looking through them, and many had more of the features we were looking for than Drupal, actually, but Drupal had this wonderful taxonomy system, and also would be able to alter the code to fit us, and that is surprisingly a rarity in the CMS world, most without breaking things.
Interesting. And you, in fact, did do a whole lot of tinkering.
As it turned out, yes.
So how long ago was that, did you say?
Well, according to Drupal.org, I signed up 5 years and 3 weeks ago, but I think that's a lie, because I remember that we were developing on Drupal 4.0, which I see has a release date of June of 2002. So it was in the summer of 2002.
So you're a veteran.
I guess so. It seems strange that I can be a veteran starting with 4.0 and we're now on 4.7, but when you realize that the first four major versions came out in a smaller time span than between 4.6 and 4.7 seems to be.
Well, when I got my new checks, I was able to pick the number that I could start them with. So it's all relatively arbitrary, isn't it? You know. maybe the next version of Drupal, it could be Drupal CS or something, just sort of
there you go.
Random.
We'll just jump to 16.
Exactly, Drupal 16. We like the way that sounds. So let's talk a little bit about the sort of hacking work. I mean, it isn't hacking because now it's all sort of part of the core stuff that you've contributed to Drupal. Let's start with the menu system. You wrote the menu system for Drupal. Can you sort of explain what that is and kind of like what it does and how Drupal was before and how Drupal is now, sort of comparatively speaking?
Sure. There was a completely separate administrative side to Drupal than the user facing side. Originally, and there was a fairly elaborate menu system written just for the administration pages, and I forget who was the author of that. I believe it was either Teresa or Stephen. And it resembled what we have today in that the URL path for a page corresponded to its location in the menu hierarchy. And this was done for any page that started with /admin. So in Drupal 4.4, I believe, that was expanded to encompass the Drupal's menu system at large. This was all prior to my involvement with it. And then the Drupal 4.5 was kind of the John Bob release.
We should say John Bob is your Drupal name. You're on your screen
name. Online handle, yeah. It incorporated the brand new iteration of the existing menu system, which was rewritten. One of the major goals was allowing that to be user customizable so that people could, when administering their site, change the order of things in the menu system and not necessarily have it tied to the hard-coded paths from modules. That same release brought the node access system and a bunch of the Doxygen documentation that I was working on. So that was a big one for me.
Is there a way that you believe that you can explain what the menu system is to a complete layperson, to someone who's totally new to Drupal? Because the menu system seems to manage so many different things and appear in different ways that it's sort of unclear what the menu system is.
Yeah, I think that's a good question because it... I should disclaim this, that very little of this is my ideas. I just happen to be the person who cast a lot of this in code. But the menu system currently, as it stands, handles not just the user visible menus, but also, you can think of it as two separate systems, or maybe even three, depending on how you slice it. It handles the user-visible menus, and that includes both the traditional hierarchical side menus, the tabs along the top of what we call the primary links now, the local tasks, which are the tabs that appear like view and edit and node, and also things like breadcrumb trail is also part of that user-facing navigation. So that's one component. Another is... access control. And this is not content access, but rather access to functions. Like, can I get to the administration section? This has to be related to the menu system, because otherwise you'd be displaying a link to the administration section that then would bring you to an access denied page, and that's no good. And then the third major component is that it handles what might be called the callback system. When you type in a URL to a page on a Drupal site, the menu system is what takes that URL and delegates it to the appropriate module to display the content. This formerly was accomplished through the page hook. Every module defined a page hook if it wanted to display pages, and the first part of the path before the first slash was used to determine which module handled it, but that was kind of limiting because you had to organize all of your content under the appropriate module, and now we can be a little bit more flexible than that.
Do you think that covers it?
Those are the biggest chunks, I think. That's what it's responsible for.
The menu system just continues to astonish me. it's so like flexible. It's really one of Drupal's greatest strengths. I mean, that and the taxonomy and there are several strengths, but the menu system.
It's interesting
really...
you bring those two up, though, because they are great strengths of the Drupal project, but they're also so complicated that is probably they're probably also some of Drupal's greatest weaknesses.
Yeah, could be.
The maintenance of both of those systems is very difficult just because of how much they do. So, in the future, I foresee. I'm no longer the official menu maintainer, Richard Archer is, but I foresee that maintenance to the menu system is going to be focused on refactoring and splitting it up into smaller components for ease of maintenance.
Yeah, I mean, I remember the first time that I did a print R on the menu system. If you use the menu get menu function and then do a print R on the variable that returns, it's shocking. it's a giant array of all kinds of stuff that. I still don't even pretend to understand exactly what's going on in there. And so anyone that's done any work on it, I have much admiration for. something else. So working backwards, Doxygen is sort of the format for placing the commenting in the modules and in the code so that it can be extracted and read by a Doxygen reader that would convert it into web pages and create documentation out of it. Yes,
right. There, I think Axel Kolmargen was the primary motivator behind this push. He started trying to generate documentation for the Drupal project just by running, I think he was using PHPDoc at the time. PHPDoc and Doxygen are pretty much they're different products, but they basically work on the same syntax. So he was running this across the Drupal project to provide a reference for people, but that reference was basically just the... signatures for functions, because we didn't really have any internal documentation. So, along with a few other people, and I forget names, so I won't even try to name people, we tried to go through the whole system and clean that up so that all important functions had documentation preceding them, and that could be pulled out by a tool like Doxygen.
It's really great for developers because you write your documentation right there while you're writing the code, and then it gets extracted and shows up on sites like DrupalDocs.org, I guess, which is now sort of slowly morphing into API.drupal.org.
Right, that's the new iteration.
Right.
Then in a little bit later, we determined that the oxygen had some failings as relates to our particular project. The big one was that a particular piece of API could only be grouped in one way. So, for example, if you had a function that was designed to theme a forum post, you had to pick whether that would show up in the theme group or in the forum group.
Right.
And you couldn't have both. So our solution to this was that I sat down and rewrote Doxygen as a Drupal module, and that became API module, which is what's currently running those sites.
Right. I did a little bit of work on the API module recently, I was amazed by what was in there. I expected it all to sort of be an external kind of like use somebody else's Doxygen stuff to create it, but all the like regular expression stuff and all that's right there in the module. I mean, it's really pretty amazing.
API module is one of the items that I'm most proud of in terms of what it does and the least proud of in terms of how it's written.
Yeah, that happens.
Turns out to be one of the very few projects that I think would be more beautiful in Perl.
So let's talk about the node access again. So we're sort of working backwards through your list.
Sure.
So what is node access and what does it do for Drupal?
Well, this was this came out from another project that we were doing in house here. Was for a school. And in this case, we needed to allow teachers to post content for their students and not for all other students. So we just wanted some kind of a lightweight mechanism for displaying only the content that was relevant to a given user. And in this case, it was mostly just for to not display things that weren't relevant. In general, it also could be used for security of content. So I looked at what was available to do this restriction, and there were a few different solutions in the contrib repository, all of which required extensive patches to how Drupal worked. And we don't like that, because whenever we end up using a module that has to patch the core, then an upgrade comes along and it becomes a real headache to merge in the changes. So basically, my contribution to the node access system pretty much was politics.
Which is a big contribution in Drupal.
It really turned out to be one. Basically, what I did was talk to all of the people that had written solutions for this problem and figure out what the common elements were and try to approach the problem from a different standpoint. I realized that we couldn't solve everyone's problems with one access system, so the only solution was to develop an API to allow people to write their own node access systems without patching the core. And that's what eventually got committed, and now there are several choices that you have to pick from when you're creating a new site that needs access controls.
I wrote one myself that works marginally well. It used to work at one point, and then these things sort of deteriorate over time, I guess. I think it's still working just fine. I hope so. What was the node access modules that you were using when this stuff kind of got through?
Well, as it turns out, we ended up brewing something ourselves that was very specific to our needs. It tied into the taxonomy system, so it's rather like one of the taxonomy access solutions that's now available in contributions, but had a lot of assumptions about our particular cases.
So let's talk a little bit about FlexiNode and CCK, which is sort of the current generation. CCK stands for Content Creation Kit. It's the sort of new iteration of FlexiNode. You wrote the FlexiNode module originally. How did that?
That's right.
How did that come about, and why are you working on CCK now instead?
Well, FlexiNode, if I remember right, may be the first module I wrote that was actually contributed as a full-fledged module to the Drupal contributions repository. It's either that one or the taxonomy menu module, which is there's a common thread here. They're both modules that are more popular than I expected when I wrote them, and I've never used either one on a production site. FlexiNode was the concept is that users, administrators of sites, should not have to resort to writing PHP code in order to structure their content. If you want a site that has menus for a restaurant, and each menu item has a price, a description, and say a wine recommendation, you should be able to go into the administration interface and make those determinations without having to write PHP code, which was previously the only solution for that, or get someone else to write it for you. So I had been doing some work with a couple other systems at the time. I had been looking into, I never actually used it, but I had been looking into Zoraya. I had done a little bit of work with Typo3, and I had done a little bit of work with Plone. And all of them have mechanisms for defining content types, though very different ones from one another. And from mulling about the various solutions there, it probably took about an hour to design FlexiNode. It took about a weekend to develop it so that it worked, but that required some hacks to the Drupal core, and it took about a month to convince people to actually get that support into the core so that it could live as a contrib module.
Politics. Once again.
At the time, the limitation was that a given module could only define one content type, because that was all. Because, you know, no one will ever need more than 640K, or whatever the quote is.
Right, yeah.
So basically the modification of the core was to allow a module to define more than one, and in this case, as many as the administrator decides to put together. So, let's see. So FlexiNode was developed, and people started using it, and I played around with it a bit. As I said, never ended up putting it on any production sites because we just didn't have the need at the time, but I anticipated the need. And if for people who have taken computer science classes that required them to read The Mythical Man Month, FlexiNode was what they refer to in there as the one to throw away. Always plan on building one to throw away. And this is pretty much it. You have to build a system before you know how to build the system. And in this case, we built a system. People are using it. People started coming up with the downfalls of how it was designed. And it's always possible to patch up the shortcomings and try to just kind of evolve into something better. Or you can try to get a new, clear foundation. That's what we decided to do. So we came to the content construction kit.
So what were the weaknesses with FlexiNode, and how does content creation kit differ?
Well, the differences, there are a few of them. There were some pretty minor annoyances with FlexiNode that were while they were minor to people, they were difficult to address because of the way it was built. One was that it was uncomfortable to theme node types that you had created with Flexnode because it refers to everything internally with a number. And so you had to know that the wine recommendation for this menu, well, wine recommendation is field 17. So I need to...
Yeah, I'm gonna give you a hallelujah on that one. Cause, man, I thought I had the site all together and it was great, and all I needed to do was sit down and theme those flexi nodes. And 2 weeks later, with pieces of paper full of numbers and letters and stuff like that, trying to translate the things back out again, it was a challenge.
So that's the kind of example of a little annoyances, and then there were some architectural decisions that I wasn't very happy with. For example, scalability of Flexnode. It works all right, and it scales pretty well. But we want something that works wonderfully and scales wonderfully. And Flexnode attempts to shove all the data into one very tall table, very tall, very narrow, right, instead of fitting the database structure to the content that you're capturing very well. It also has its own extension mechanism. You add specially formatted include files for new field types when the CCK way for this is to attempt to be more true to how Drupal is designed and use the Drupal module system for that.
Mm-hmm.
And from the ground up, we're conceiving CCK as a candidate for core inclusion. So everything's being built under the assumption that someday we will hopefully have this as part of just what Drupal does out of the box.
That would be very, very cool. It's still, I mean, how would you qualify this current status of CCK?
The roadmap here is that it will be released when Drupal 4.7 is released, and it will be available as a fully working contributions, I guess you call it a suite of modules. Bear Kessels is working on maintaining Flexnode for the 4.7 release cycle, so we'll be able to have both of them coexisting peacefully, and people can use the more tried and true or the cutting edge, depending on what their preference is. And then the hope is that early in the 4.7 cycle, we can begin real discussions about what needs to happen before people are comfortable making CCK part of what Drupal does.
Right.
So
what are the pieces that CCK is still missing?
Well, there are a lot of little things. Basically, you can kind of just look at what Flexnode does and see what's missing and what CCK needs to do. We need just things like a good date widget. Right now, there's no way to very nicely have a date field. So a lot of tasks are like that. They're fairly small. They just need some time committed to them so that people can build those things.
So so what is a widget?
I should start with what a field is.
There you go.
CCK, let's start with Flexnode. In Flexnode, you build your content types by assembling fields. You say, I need a field for my description of this. Let's stick with our menu example. A description of this menu item. And you say that's a text field, and that has three lines for the user to enter text in. And so you assemble things that way. In CCK, we're doing the same kind of thing with the big exception that a single field can be present in more than one content type. So the canonical example of this is with events. An event is something that has a start date. Basically, if you look at the old way of the event module worked, it defined a content type called event, and you entered some information about your event, and event module would build a calendar from that. Then they decided that, well, events sometimes have pictures associated with them. So the solution was to change event module to allow you to attach a picture as well. And as you can see, this kind of devolves pretty rapidly into a real hodgepodge of the content type.
Right.
That attempts to be everything for everyone, but will inevitably fail. So the solution to this was to have eventness be kind of a behavior that can be attached to different content types. And they accomplished this using, I think it was Neil Drum who did this work, who rewrote the event module to use Node API and be able to attach event behavior to any different kind of content type.
Right.
And that's a reasonable way forward. But the CCK way to do this is to say an event is something that has a start date. So we'll define a field, we'll call it start date, and we'll put that field on these two different content types. Then you can do a query that says, give me everything with a start date after today, and you will have a list of things that are of more than one content type, but all are event-like because they all have that one field.
Right. Huh.
This is very useful in conjunction with the views module that Earl put together. And I think you talked about on a recent podcast.
Yeah, yeah. So but basically, none of this could have been done in FlexiNode. I mean, because there
right.
was no way to know that something was a date. It was just a text field that had some numbers in it.
Right. FlexiNode was all about presentation, not about semantics. And so in CCK, we're handling the semantic meaning of things by assigning meaning to the fields. But you need to handle the presentation aspect too, which is what brings us back to your original question about widgets. When you are defining a start date for your event, it would make sense to input that event multiple ways. You might have a text field where you type in the date, you might have a set of drop-downs for month, day, and year, or you might have a JavaScript calendar that allows you to select your event. And that doesn't really matter to the field itself. It doesn't matter how the user entered the content. So we decided to decouple the field, which is the data layer, from the widget, which is the UI layer. So the widget is it can be defined by a separate module, and it just defines a way of getting the data from the user to the field and back again.
Fascinating. So what you're saying is, like, you could already have the date stuff, you know, the CCK date stuff is already set up and already running, but you could write a module that just adds an option to present that date differently.
Exactly.
Either, you know, choose it using a pop-up calendar kind of thing or present it differently.
That's exactly. So, for example, the built-in text module just defines a simple text field that the user can enter some text into it. And one of the options for validation of that field is to restrict the user to a certain set of options, to these five values. And by default, it will just give you a nice little warning message when you type in the wrong value. But there's a separate module that allows you to assign a radio button widget to that field, which then will present you with radio buttons for all of the allowed values that you wrote in. That's the same in terms of data. It's exactly the same. But
right.
In terms of user interface, it's very different.
Right. Right. Wow. It's really cool stuff. I mean, I kind of got it for the first time in Vancouver, and there's nothing worse than a convert. Going around, everybody's seen CCK, it's amazing. But yeah, it's really cool stuff. And I mean, even just stuff like having Daryl O'Pry, Dopri, wrote an image field recently, or he's still working on it, maybe, sort of coordinating
right.
it. And just from a theming standpoint, you sort of, again, it's that sort of what's happening behind the scenes and then how it's being presented on the page, both for people entering the content and then also for people viewing the content. So there's sort of different presentational layers as well. But speaking as someone that did a bunch of theming of, where people were uploading, various images with, we built this site, called participate.net, and they would have these campaigns for these movies and they would need to upload like a small version of the movie picture and a large version of the movie picture and a square version and you know, a thumbnail and all this, you know, there were very specific different sizes and stuff like that, but they would just attach all of these using the upload module, and then we would have to sort of like parse through them and look for, okay, the one that says square, that's the square one, and we'll present that here, and the one that says, you know, giant is the giant one. And it was just such a challenge to have to go through that process. But using CCK now, and having these, you know, you can just have a single image field for, you know, upload the square one here or upload the thumbnail one here. And then in your node object, you can just address that one and present it on the page in your theme. And it's super easy and super great.
That's the hope.
So thanks.
Certainly.
So you said that you see CCK, it would be nice to have it at least closely intertwined into Drupal core, if not actually part of Drupal core, and that it's been heading that direction. Is that true?
We're hoping to head that direction, yes.
Very cool.
Imaginary ideal world, a Drupal 5.0 would really be based around CCK, views, and actions.
Cool.
So those are the three modules to watch on my, I don't know what that would be, my People magazine.
John Bob top three.
That's right.
John Bob's radar.
That's right.
Let's see. So what other questions do I have to ask you here? So you mentioned Earl's views module. I know that the views stuff, views module kind of requires some integration. Does CCK have inherent views integration?
It does. Basically, when you're defining a field for CCK, as we mentioned, those are just modules with a set of hooks. They're very similar to the hooks that you would be familiar with if you've written custom node modules in the past. But instead of defining a whole node, you're only defining a little chunk of it. You have the option of handling your own database storage or letting CCK do it for you. And if it does it for you, you get a bunch of advantages of that. There's a lot less code to write. You pretty much only have to decide how to display the content once it gets to the user and how to display the fields for the user to enter the content. And you also get the advantage of having views integration already done for you. So when you are building a new view, say a table of all of your events, to bring back to the event example, you have a filter built in that says this start date field greater than this particular date, and you already have a table of all your upcoming events.
That's amazing. Really cool stuff. So, are there other, like, other things that you sort of see that it just starts to sort of open up a, you know, giant realm of possibilities of, instead of, for instance, instead of distributing, modules that implement their own custom node types, instead you could start distributing modules that implement CCK node types that people could potentially add on to, like, I put out a module called Bio Module a while ago, and it's kind of a, you know, really simple module that just has a, you know, title and a body field and doesn't make a whole lot of assumptions. But lots of times people for that kind of a module would want to enter first name and last name and potentially be able to sort by last name and stuff like that. And so is there a way that CCK, like, that I could build that as sort of built into CCK, write that module to sort of take advantage of CCK, or have a CCK node type that sort of comes with it that can be installed into CCK? Is that?
This is a feature that is probably coming soon. We don't currently have a method of distribution for the content types themselves, but I anticipate that someone's going to write that layer very soon because it's high on a lot of people's radars. But I anticipate that modules won't have any need to define content types. Instead, they will be defining field types, as we discussed earlier, or particular fields. So when we're thinking about something like book module, we could allow book module to define a book content type. But better than that would be for it to define a parent field and have behavior that knows that any content type that has that parent field is in a book. Because that's really all that it means to be a book,
right,
to have a parent.
Right. Huh. And then also then there's the presentational part of it you know, like book module will show you the list of children, and I guess a link to the parent as well.
Exactly.
On the page.
But it would know which node to do that to based on the presence of fields inside the node. This is what is, if you've heard of it before, called duck typing. If it looks like a duck and smells like a duck and quacks like a duck, it's probably a duck.
I think I've heard a variation on that. Yeah.
If it looks like a book node, it probably is a book node.
Right.
So that's the preferred mechanism that we're aiming for.
Cool. So we talked in the book module sort of as a CCK node type. There's also sort of that problem of how to present the information on the page. I mean, and the sites that we're building, we're tending to kind of theme everything from scratch, and don't want to, sort of let Drupal kind of do its thing with too much. We tend to do a lot of pretty hardcore theming. And that's kind of required with CCK as it stands now. Is there a way that that's going to kind of loosen up, or what's sort of the thinking behind the, what's happening during the view phase for the CCK node types?
Well, this is a piece that I'm very much looking for community direction on. It's not clear to me at all where the line exists between what presentation a module is supposed to handle itself, like CCK, and what presentation is supposed to be handled by the theme. And so things like, does this content appear in the teaser? Is that something that we should add a checkbox for in CCK? Or is that something that the theme should decide? Because the theme can do that if it wants.
Right.
So,
or in an RSS feed is another issue. You know.
Yes, exactly.
I mean, which it essentially is the same thing, is, you know, because usually the RSS feed just sucks either out of the teaser or out of the body or some sort
right.
of combination. Yeah.
So but really when you think about it, we could go on for hours just adding checkboxes for particular behaviors. So there has to be a line drawn somewhere. or perhaps a different view layer that fits between the content definition layer and the actual theme.
Where there would be some sort of an easy administrator defined kind of template that they could kind of type in some sort of logical way rather than having to actually write theming functions or new theme files for that, right?
Right. That's definitely a possible direction and one that I'm not opposed to going in, but I want to find out what the community thinks is the right approach first.
Well, somebody should start a forum post on this, and people that are listening to this podcast can post some opinions.
There we go.
Actually, I'm going to take some initiative. I'll start that. I can't promise that I'll be very active in the discussion, but I will start it, and I will link to it from this podcast, the podcast node on lullabot.com. So that's where you can find that.
Okay.
Great. Yeah. See, we'll get some stuff done, man. Get it all figured out. So do you have anything else on your radar? Exciting stuff for Drupal that you're seeing in the future? I guess you mentioned your three to watch. Are there other things?
Well, those are the big ones because I'm attempting to go the traditional open source route of scratching my own itch, and those are the areas where I currently have an itch to scratch. So those are the big three to watch, I think.
Right on. Well, we'll keep watching them.
All right.
Great. Well, thanks a lot, John. I really appreciate you taking some time to talk to me and let people hear what you're thinking, because it's usually really good stuff. So thanks again.
All right. Thank you.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye.